So that we hear Chris and Shireen now for you know, adding to that. Chris has passed.
I'll write it up.
And then we if need be, we can have another breakout session early next week to work on the refinement, right? Rather than having a full discussion now, which right. we might not be able to conclude anyway. You know, so Shireen.
It's just a minor thing for Jonathan. Can you report what we talked about quarterly reporting that we...
So the other issue that was raised and not entirely resolved, and so we don't know whether... is that ICANN has recently reached a level of financial sophistication that it does fairly comprehensive quarterly reporting, and that a full-on budget freeze would be disruptive to that quarterly reporting. Now, obviously, we don't want to go back to the ICANN that we had before where that wasn't taking place, and so that's an issue that we need to find compromises on it and didn't resolve, but that issue was certainly raised. And the way that it's handled now, I will answer a question because we ran that scenario, is that they actually report on the budget as published with tweaks made down the road. So there is, in fact, reporting that occurs even if the budget has not yet been finalized. And so that system won't necessarily work for what we're proposing because that current budget is the one with which we have issues. So just having the continuing resolution be the budget as proposed is not something that we thought the community would find acceptable. So that's as yet an unresolved issue.
So we have Xavier in the room. You would like to add to that?
Just a very quick comment. This is another assignment. Find an alternative quarterly reporting approach in the case there is a veto bill pending and therefore not a budget to compare anything to.
Right.
So I will work on that to be able to try to find a solution on how we handle the quarterly report. Hope would not happen. Veto would have been resolved before the first quarterly report.
Right.
But in case that would not be the case, we'll try eager to about that quarterly reporting.
Thanks. Now, this is very promising, I have to say. I think we really are at the tipping point of this work. So, Asha, you also wanted to add something? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. Asha Hemrajani, for the record, I just wanted to say, oops.
Hello?
Okay. I just wanted to agree with what Bort I thought was very fair and balanced, and he did cover very well the... Although we managed to only discuss one possible scenario, one challenge or one concern that the... I think the fact that we did make so much that out is a really positive step. So your idea, Thomas, of continuing this, I was telling the beginning, as in this is the beginning of the first time that we are in discussing this, and I'm optimistic. I think that we can...
Right, isn't that good? So this is... in no way meant to suppress discussion, but I think that with only half an hour left for this morning session, what I guess the best use of our group's time is say, okay, this needs some refinement, obviously, but we made good progress. I hope there's no opposition to that capping of the atmosphere in the room. And I would suggest that we make time for another breakout early next week. And I'm sure that as a little treat for all of you, he was already saying that his voice would carry until until the end of the room. If we reach agreement on the budget topic this week, will you sing What a Wonderful World from Sechmo?
Yes.
He can do it. He's done it before, so let's work towards that. Let's make it a requirement, right? Say that again.
You got to earn it. That's right.
I want to sing the...
Okay. That's enhanced cooperation, right? So... let's close that topic now. Thanks to Jonathan and team. Awesome work. Thank you very much. Cheryl, who's next?
I think we're to enforcement now.
And the floor is yours, Jordan.
On? Yeah, I'm sick of sitting down. I think I take a slightly different from what Asha just said. I think what's happening, which is quite exciting, is not that we're starting to say the same things. It's we're starting to listen to each other. Very positive sign for this group's progress. That's good. So I'm talking about the enforcement model. We were tasked with two, and that's both ways. We were tasked with looking at two specific cases of enforcement. We were tasked with looking at the enforceability of IRP decisions and the issue of the separation review. And we didn't look at the second one. We ignored the separation review because if the separation review isn't being followed, it's going to end up in the IRP. So we focused on the IRP. Now, who did their homework and read those tailed tables that were sent to you yesterday? I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed. If you had looked at the 15 or 76 million page table that set out the detail, and if you'd looked at the enforceability of the IRP, you'd have seen that the process is the same, whether you've got a single designator or a single member. There are very few process differences. The reason I'm holding this is I have to read something in a minute. The process is very much the same. So in terms of process differences, there aren't really any. You end up in court. But there is a difference between the two models. And I wrote this down so I would write as if I was a lawyer almost-ish. And in both the models here, it's important to note that there is a legal person. Single designator would be a legal person. The single member would be a legal person. So there is someone with standing or the capacity as a person to be on the other end of a binding arbitration process, which is what the... In either model, fiduciary duties are important, this horrible F-word that we keep rattling around this room. And that's important. The only time when fiduciary duties are suspended or less relevant is in a member model for the powers that are reserved to that member. So in all cases, in terms of entering into an IRP on ICANN's side, if they argue that the IRP is dealing with issues where the fiduciary responsibilities of the corporation must prevail, that is an argument that's available. But what the difference between member and designate down to is that the scope of the IRP is wider in the member one. Because when dealing with those reserved powers, when it's about the budget or the changes to the bylaws or the recall of directors, because those powers are reserved to the member, ICANN can't say the fiduciary responsibilities of the board mean that we're not going to enter into arbitration about that. Now, that is dancing in some respects on the head of a pin. It is the edge case of an edge case. So it is not, this is it, remember, the very beginning of this is after the entire process. It's after the board's decided not to exercise the community power. It's after that's been taken through an IRP. It's after there's been a finding against the board in doing it. So we're a long way down the rabbit hole at this point, and we're dancing on the head of a pin. That would be so, and then at the end of that discussion, we asked people which one they preferred. And guess what? There was no agreement. In fact, it was evenly balanced by my observation of the hands. And that's not surprising, because when this is so similar, it doesn't give you the decisional point to choose. So if our terms of reference were meant to give a nice answer to this group about, well, you've got to choose model X or Y, sorry, that didn't happen. The last point I would make is that in thinking about the level of enforceability of those powers, making the IRP scope slightly wider and having the community powers force slightly more strongly gives me a preference. So that gives me a slight preference for the stats as far as this analysis takes you. So I don't know that that's quite what we were expecting to get out of this session. One of the things I hoped we could get at some point this week and think we need to schedule a broader look at the pros and cons of these two again, really head-to-heading them to help us tease out the arguments and then find the ones that we're locking up on and find a way to resolve them. But this wasn't... What I think it tells you is that we have more clarity about all of the powers under either model. So I think... which of you is chairing this? Thomas? Matthew? So I think if there are any other group members who think I've kind of left something important out, or if our lawyers think I've inaccurately stated, we should get them first.
I suggest we
whatever you want to do.
I suggest we do as we did the last topic. We'll not be able to reach consensus on that today. But let me call for the group members first to add to John's report. Please raise your hands. Not all of you are in the Adobe. So we have Bruce. And then Greg and Sean. And afterwards, we have Avery, and we'll add more people to the queue as we move along. Bruce.
Thanks. And thanks, Jordan. I think you gave a good... One of the key things is in the majority of cases when there's binding, I think it's worth probably just noting then that right down the bottom, it ultimately is a step past that. Let's say the court didn't back the community. Both of those models also have the ability to remove...
Thanks, Greg.
Exactly what we're going to need to focus on. All it is true that the duty there, that's and mostly ours, that's where we get the biggest divide. So I think Well, we need to explore communities' potential cases that dive to decide whether those models, because the general cases may be when it comes to the reserve powers, then in the, well, it seems like an edge case. It's actually we're on that.
Greg, thanks. I would suggest that we proceed with the queue and that we have Holly and or Rosemary maybe briefly respond to that, because I think there are other ways to maybe tweak the articles or the bylaws to help with this.
That's what we got into a long discussion about.
Okay. Okay. Well, then we can skip that. Let's move with the. Do you?
Yeah, we have to finish this whole meeting in 20 minutes, guys. So
yeah. Let's. Sean is next. And the queue is closed after Athena.
Yeah, this is Sean for the record. I need to apologize. Yesterday I wasn't following Lee because I was engaged in other things. But during a discussion within this group, I think we realized that there are actually some of goal of enforcement could actually be achieved without these two models that are actually played. So I wanted to ask, is there a specific reason why we're restricting to single designator and single member? What was the rationale for actually deciding to stick with these two as we try to for a way of enforcing?
Sean, I suggest we take this offline. We discuss this after the meeting ends, okay? Next in line is Avery.
Boiling it down to angels and the difference of that. But I think the difference is actually incredible between whether the fiduciary has the, at the end of the day, that have the part. And such. I don't think that that's a minimal difference. I think actually an infinitely large. And to minimize it as just saying is, you know, I've been using the word trump card all day on it, and that has its own problems. But the fact is, at the end of the day, one argument prevails, either the argument of members or the that is a large difference, even if process looks incredibly similar.
All thanks. Would you like to respond to that?
Really briefly, in terms of the difference of what might happen at the end of the IRLE, in terms of the broader picture about the...
Chris indicated it was a quick follow-up. Since you haven't spoken today, I allow that to happen.
Thank you so much, Thomas. Lee Thomas. I want to agree with Avery's characterization. I'm not interested in fighting about whether it's... I have absolutely no problem whatsoever with this claim that it is... No problem with that ending up in a court where the court decides whether the board claim that it is inside or outside its fiduciary is extremely uncomfortable. Having a claim untested can simply be ridden straight over the top of current form where there is you, and I wanted to put it on the table. Thank you.
Thanks. Malcolm?
Thank you. I thought it was an extremely interesting and more interactive discussion. I must say I went into this... IRP enforceability and the availability here, and that for me I had a very low, my opinion was rather changed. I felt confused about the argue that, well, we may have had an IRP decision, how the court would respond to that. And so I had thought that the single member was going to be a great way of making that certain and clear, and everything would be. I want to give some credit here to Bruce here, shore that up through other means. Essentially, simply looking at this, these two models, other things we could do on top of this that we haven't thought
Jordan.
Of.
Thanks. I just want to, both models, the fiduciary duties apply to almost every, in the member model, it only doesn't apply to the removal. So if we were talking about a member model that had the board and making all these decisions about ICANN's budget, I would be so allergic to it, I'd probably be dead by now. So
yeah, okay, I think that should be taken offline. Athena? Thanks, Athena. Chris, you already spoke. Siva hasn't spoken, so I would allow Siva in, but after that we're really going to close this. With the roaming mic.
One significant difference between the single designator and single member model is that of arbitration is wider in the single member model. But at the same time, would this by any chance give room for trivial arbitration suits by the single member or some form of restrictive arbitration proceedings by the single member? Can you give me some examples of where the board is sued for derivative action? Some imaginary examples. Can you give me some examples, some action for which the board is sued?
Would Holly or Rosemary care to respond to that? Or I suggest we note the question and we try to address it. Certainly the discussion is not concluded with this. I have three things that I observe after this. We see that there are a lot of similarities, so it's difficult for the group to decide which it prefers to use. I understand that we're talking a lot about borderline cases, and I take Athena's plea to not look at the borderline cases only. And the third thing, with the tongue-in-cheek, I can't resist to say that, we're talking a lot about not putting ourselves at the disposal of lawyers so much. And it's interesting to hear that Chris obviously trusts judges more than the community. So with that, let's move to the last section of our report.
The removal of the individual board member.
And here comes Mike to report about that.
So after the velvety tones of Jonathan and thorough Brooklynese from Joe Pesci, but news, we're going to end on a good note here. Worked in the spirit of compromise and consensus of the disagreement was that in the current proposal from CCWG, the process was there would be a petition by their quote-unquote. After that, essentially, the contra-view to that, well, it's okay for an SOAC to our board. It's essentially a community process. That was essentially what the debate was. A lot of discussion that what was missing step of due process. Have his chance to, you know, and this is another edge. I had a discussion with you and we had the community forum, which would most, after that, though, you would have a formal call for request for comments and go off and discuss, you know, amongst them. Then has to consider those comments. After considering those comments, then they would be free to make their process in the current process. Also maintains the right. I open it up to make sure, Johnny, if I captured it correctly. Sharon,
so for the remote participants, Johnny is nodding. Mike, thanks so much for the excellent report. Those who were in that team who want to add to his report, please do give me a signal. Chris?
Yeah, this Mike is great. Yep, so I just wanted to center line came. Started talking about the concept of going back to the beginning of the where you have policy. CCNSO is in charge of its own policy, but in its bylaw there's a similar baseline for the way that you would deal with the removal.
Thanks, Chris. Any more team members that want to add? George?
Thank you. I want experience. We converged pretty much on this solution. I feel very comfortable with this. It meets my criteria, certainly, as well as...
That's well received. Thanks very much, George. And there are two more board members that I think were part of the team, Shireen and Gonzalo.
I want to say that Mike has done a brilliant job. I shifted my position a little bit because I'm now satisfied with the process, so I feel very comfortable. And
can you just pass on the mic? Thanks so much, Shireen, for that.
Thank you. Mike, you did a really good job in trying to express in the process. I think this is a good formula in terms of consensus and how we should be working. It adds a sense of due process to the we are having here and the opportunity to community to get involved in this. And at the end, the final solution is in a high quorum in order to remove a director. So I think there is a sense of fairness in this process. So thank you very much for
that. Awesome. That is very promising. Can I ask you to stay here? We have some comments from the group. We have a few minutes left. Nonetheless, let's go through the comments. I guess, Malcolm, that was an old hand, right? Cavus, was that an old hand or a new hand?
On the previous session.
Okay, your hand was lowered in the meantime. I thought you had passed. I'm sorry. Ellen?
Thank you. I assume, although perhaps not formalized, that there's a precep where the organization talks to their own director, explains the situation, and gives them opportunity to quietly resign before this is made public. Maybe we don't formalize that, but it should be there.
A formalized informal discussion.
Okay, so quiet resignation of board members is not necessarily community power, but an easy way out, right? And actually, going back to what Cheryl said, placing this group near to the toilet, maybe we should rename the community power to flushing the board, except for I just couldn't resist that pun. Robin, and then Sean, and after that we take stock.
Thank you. This is Robin Gross for the record. I have a question about the pink sticker on the right up there. It says 75% threshold in order to... It's a new piece. Is that right? All of this... Yeah, is that
no,
from
that's,
this
in
morning?
A, that's in the proposal
That's
now.
In our... So it's yeah. not my question. Thank you.
Great. Sean, can we have the roaming microphone for Sean? Hillary's on her way. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is Sean. This is Sean for the record. Well, it's a good thing the at least there's an amendment in actually trying to... wanting to get the view of the community. However, I think this still does not remove the fact that the SO, the appointing SO or AC, still has the last say on who removes the board. And it still does not remove that fundamental impression that it creates within the board that we have different representatives within the board. So I think the question is when the call for comment comes up and the SOs or ACs respond to the appointing SO or AC that wants to remove, if those comments says advises them not to remove, what would they do? Would they really follow that advice or they will still go anyway and remove and give their rationales for removal? Because that is the main point. And it seems like they still have the decision to say that or not, which does not actually remove the concerns that I have. Thank you.
Correct. It would be able to, GACIT would be able to ignore it. The idea, though, is that there would be a very public, strong vetting of the discussion. And so, yes, in the final decision, it would be thwarted by some statute.
Just a follow-up. How does this affect the NOMCOM appointed members?
NOMCOM is still the same. NOMCOM requires, right now, it requires a 75. That's subject to what we develop process here. But that's a...
Thanks so much. I had closed the queue. Bruce, you'd put yourself into the queue afterwards. I guess you're asking for me to mark yield green and ask our card.
I just wanted to get a little clarification on that last point. So, hearing people say they're concerned consent or consensus decision of the
law. In the current proposal, it's 75%. Yeah. That's what the proposal is. And
we don't change the report in that.
Very few public comments on.
Let's just be clear. We're discussing refinements to what we had in the report. There was no objection to what we had in the report on that.
I'm fine with that, Thomas. Just to be clear, I think Mark there, but we're going to need to look at it again.
Correct.
So you call it refining it.
Correct.
I think it will fit.
But it's going to be done there and not here. And I think, let me be brave, I think we can take that for second reading and mark it green. I think the process is well understood. I don't see any significant... issues with this. Everybody seems to be satisfied. But let's do that, bring it up for second reading, and later in the week, or early next week. So with that, I think we can close this morning session. Let me say, you've all done a tremendous job. Let me call out specifically Cheryl, who has been taking care of the sub-teams masterfully. Special shout-out to the X-Plane guys who facilitated these sessions. Yeah. I'm particularly proud that we seem to have remote participation work for breakout sessions. That is a breakthrough as well. So thanks to the remote participants. And thanks to all of you. This has been very, very constructive. Another of these Eureka moments, and we had a few of them this morning. But let's continue the good work and see you soon.
Next occasions, Monday, 10:30, engagement session. No, it's going to be in the big room where the opening ceremony takes place. And then on Monday afternoon, starting at 2 p.m., we have a long session which we will design in the next... Bear with us until tomorrow morning, probably, for a detailed agenda. Thank you.